I grew up watching movies. Okay. Amazing movies. Number one, Rambo. Predator. Rocky. Terminator. Over the top. Come on, you have to remember Over the Top. Yes. The guy with a cap. The guys that are looking at me funny, you probably that 26 and under, okay? I'm not talking to you tonight. It's the guy with the hat and he does the arm wrestling. And then when he does, he's busy losing, he just turns his cap around. It's like super through. Okay, that's the movies I grew up with. Rambo, Rocky, Predator, Raw Deal. It's all Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. They will never win an Oscar. Or any award for that matter. There's not a chance. They won't. But I was reading in the Old Testament, and I was just going through it, and I got to 1 Kings 17. And I started reading about this gentleman called Elijah, the Tishbite. And I promise you, if Steven Spielberg would get hold of chapters 17, 18, and 19, he can make a pretty good movie out of those three chapters. I was just reading this, and there's just a couple of things I just want to share with you tonight. So just journey with me. Just go with it. You can open your Bibles there. You can have a look at it. I'll reference back to some of it. But I just want to take some things that's in there and make it part of our lives tonight. And hopefully you can take something out of it. Elijah, in chapter 17... A lot of the Old Testament, before the prophet, you read who he is, where he comes from, his mom and dad. There's a bit of history behind it. But Elijah is literally like, he just dropped out of the sky. Later on, he just goes back up in the sky. But there's nothing referencing about him. He's just there. Verse 1, he goes to Ahab, who's the king of Israel at the time. And he walks into this party. What they're having, while they're having this party, he walks up to the king and he says to them, "There'll be no rain until I say so." And he turned around and he walked away. The king and all the people probably think, okay, weird. Why was this very funny? At that time, Ahab's married to Jezebel. Now everybody goes, ooh, I know that name. He was married to Jezebel. They brought in worshipping Baal. What was Baal known for? He was the worshiper of the god of rain. He was, one of his characteristics was he was the god of rain. Here comes this prophet of God and he says, "There will be no rain until I say so." And he walks out. They probably thought, listen here, this guy is missing the plot. There's something wrong with him. Whatever camel hair he is smoking, it's good stuff. Because we've got it. Our God is the God that provides rain. Friends, I want to tell you that God is calling you, and that's the first point. In your workplace, in your family, and your friend, God wants to use you. And sometimes it's going to be a word that will go against the religion of today. It'll be a word that goes against the standards of your company. Because there will be sometimes things that you go, but this is very unethical. And my God is not unethical. He's an ethical, unashamedly ethical God. And the businesses that you're trying to do is not right. See, because Elijah knew exactly who Ahab was. He knew exactly who Jezebel was. He knew exactly the God that they were worshiping in that time. But God still gave him that word. I want to tell you that God wants to use you in your workplace, between your friends and your family. But sometimes it's going to cost you to not be very popular to bring those words, to live your life differently, to say things a bit differently. But I want to say man up and be bold to do that, because there's a reward for that. When you go and you say, "Lord, use me wherever you want to use me. Take me to my family, take me to my workplace, and use me." Elijah was obedient. Say, "God, this is the word you want to bring, I'll bring it." And he does that. 1 Kings 3 verse 7, God tells Elijah to go out to the east. There's a brook. It flows into the Jordan. Just go sit there. I will look after you. When God calls you, God uses you, God will look after you. Okay. This is the most amazing. This is one of those parts that they got special effects. They can do amazing things here. He's got water by the brook. The next thing in 1 Kings 3 to 7, the ravens brings him bread and meat. Uber eats right there. Sort it. Now, I know you read it and you go, okay, there comes a bird and he hoists some meat and stuff. This is not crazy. But you know what? It's just sometimes crazy how God looks after us. We sometimes think the natural things. Friends, God supernaturally wants to look after you. He made sure Elijah was looked after. He made sure that wherever he was, he had food, he had water, he had bread. He was looked after. God will always look after you. Matthew 6, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. Neither do they sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than them? God will always, always look after us. The brook dry up. God comes again. He says, Elijah, okay, get up. Go to a town called Zarephath. There you will find a widow. She will look after you. He does exactly that. Obedient to God. He gets up. He goes to this town. Gets there. And there's a woman busy picking up little sticks. And he says to her, excuse me, ma'am. I wonder if you would just go out and just come back and bring me a cup of water. She says, fine, I'll do that. She says, but while you're busy, just bring me some bread. She looks at him and says, I only have one cup of flour and a little bit of oil. I just want to take this, and I just want to go feed my son and myself and die. It's the end. I can't do this anymore. Elijah says, it's fine, go do that. But bring me that first piece of bread, bring it to me. And you will see how God will make sure that your flour will not stop and your oil will not run dry till God commands the rain to come back. I want to tell you, never look past the people God puts in your life to help you. Never look past the people that God placed in your life to help you. I'm sure God could have put Elijah in a very different household. People that will look after him maybe a lot better. But he chose a widow to look after him. Friends, maybe you are having relationships. Maybe you're sitting positions with friends that's not looking after you. That's not got the right interest in their hearts with you. Make sure that you are listening to God for the friends that you are having in your life. It might even be a Stormer supporter. I don't know. You never know. Here comes this Afrikaans Dutchman. I married an English wife, but I'm very much Afrikaans. My best friend is an Indian. My family's like, what the heck is going on here? How can this be? It's impossible. It's a friendship that God has given me, that I know it's a godly relationship. It's a godly friendship. It's a friend that looks after me. It's a friend that will care for me. It's a friend that will take his shirt off for me if I need it. It's from God. It's a good friend. Friends, don't look past those people in your life that God is putting there for you. And then the fourth point on that, be a blessing to them. Be a blessing to that people. Be a blessing in your workplace. Be a blessing in your family, but be a blessing. Elijah, while he stayed there, he prayed up for the widow, and he said that the flour will not run dry, the oil will not stop. But even further on, from verse 17 to 24, her son passed away. The Bible says the breath left his body. Elijah takes the son up to the upper room, carrying him up there, saying, Lord, please, bring life back into this body. Three times. Lord, please bring life back into this body. God answers his prayer and he brings life back into this body. You know what? Elijah was a blessing to that family. I'm not saying go pray for the dead and raise them up. But friends, you know what? When there's someone in your friend circles that's sick, take time. Go to them. The faith that God's given you, go pray for them. When someone is in the hospital, don't wait for the elders to go do it. You go do it. It's your friend. It's people God has put in your life. Go pray for them. We're all believers. It's the same God. Go pray for them. When you're in your workplace, in the morning, before you work, walk in there, pray for that people. Don't be that person that when you walk in there, they all do that penguins move. You know what a penguins move is? Tuck and roll, boys. He's coming. Don't be that person. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. When they walk in, they just want to be with you. They just want to spend time with you because you're a blessing. Because there's something else about us, eh? There's something else about us. There's something inside of us that's different to what the world has. And they want it. I promise you they want it. Because there's a hole in their lives. And only God can fill that space. Be a difference. Be a blessing. Between your friends and your family, be that one that they say, yes, like it. If I've got the first bride, he's the first guy I'm inviting. Because he's such a nice guy, such a lekker ook. I just want to be with him. He's such an inspiration. Be that person. Okay. After 3 years, 3 years of drought, no rain, because Elijah said so, no rain. God commands Elijah and he says to him, go back to Ahab. Again, Elijah, being obedient, goes, marches in there. Ahab sees him coming. Now, the first thing is probably like, what now? What else? And he immediately attacks him. He says, you are the troublemaker. You're the one that's causing all this nonsense. Elijah said to him, no. Hang on. It's not me. You're the one that have forsaken the commandments of God. You're the one that brought in Baal worship into this place. It's on you. But let's settle this man to man. Let's do this the proper way. And he set something up. And this is, again, if you can make a movie of this, you'll make big bucks. He says to him, get the people of Israel and get the prophets and gather them on Mount Carmel. And your 450 prophets of Baal. That's the ones he wanted. Ahab does that. He gets the people together. And Elijah sets his challenge. Remember? One guy, Elijah, against 450 prophets. My math is not good. But this is not a fair fight. See what I mean? Rambo, one gun, 500 guys gone. On the floor, dead. And he walks out there with not even a scratch on him. But I look at this and I'm like, here's one guy with a boldness, with God in his heart. And he says, bring me first of all, I want the children of Israel to be there. That's the most important thing. But then I want those 450 prophets. We'll have a challenge. He gets them to choose two bulls. Cut them up, place them on the altar, put wood on there, but don't light the offering. Don't light the offering. Before that, Elijah says to Israel while they're there, says, if Baal is God, follow him. But if the Lord is God, follow him. Why don't you follow God? The Israelites kept quiet. They stayed quiet. Elijah uses words. He says, you are limping between two choices. You've got Baal, and you've got... Remember, they pray to God as well, and to Baal. But when it's better... No, let's pray to... Friends, it's an idol. It's an idol. What is an idol today in our lives? It's not necessarily Baal. An idol is something that's taking our focus away from God. And is that limping between the two? Am I focusing on God 100% or is there different things that's got my attention? Or is it God sometimes or is it this? And that is what Elijah is saying here. You are limping between two choices. Friends, we cannot limp between two choices. God is a zealous God. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. He doesn't want 60% here and 40% there. He doesn't want you just on a Sunday and a Wednesday. He wants to make sure that he's got your attention 7 days of the week. He wants to make sure that he's got you for life, because that's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares for you. Make sure you don't limp between two choices tonight. Make sure that you know that everything is surrendered unto him. And I know it's not easy. The times we live in with everything that's set out so nicely for us. But you know what? The reward is so much greater. To say, God, my everything. You're my all in all. You're my everything. David writes in the psalm, he says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. David knew his attention was fully on God. He wasn't limping between two. It was fully on God. Elijah, fully on God. And that's your choice tonight. Are we limping between two, or are we having a full focus on God? Coming back to, okay, now he's doing this whole two altars. Pack the wood, pick two bulls, cut them up, and let's do this. It says, the God who answers with fire, he is God. They start the morning, pack everything nice, get everything ready, and here they go. They start praying. They start crying. They start doing their thing. Bible says up until around about 3 o'clock, they started going crazy, asking their God, Baal, which also one of their characteristics was, a God of fire. So by the way, I don't know, Baal sounds to me, he could have done everything. But he was also, Scripture says, the God of fire. So I'm sure when Elijah said to them, listen here, the God who answers with fire, they probably said, we've got it in the bag. This is sorted. Done and dusted. Probably high-fiving each other there, 450 of them, so it took like 3 hours. But they sorted. Because this is our God. He answers with fire. It's not a problem. Elijah said, okay, let's go for it. And he does that. By 3 o'clock, nothing happened. Nothing. Yes, and these ones are going crazy now. The Bible says they start cutting themselves. They're putting daggers in their body, and they start ripping themselves open. They start going next level crazy. They are just going for it up until evening. Well, look with me in verse 27 from verse 18. At noon, Elijah mocked them. He's sitting under a tree now, looking at this 450 guys going next level crazy. Says, and at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's musing or he is relieving himself. Your God is probably on the toilet. Is he not sleeping? What is going on? Where is your God? Mocking them. Throwing it out there, putting it out there. Where is your God? Isn't your God the one that answers with fire? Isn't he the fire God? Isn't he the rain God? Where is he? What is he doing? Nothing happening. Nothing. Friends, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I don't serve a God that doesn't answer. It must be the worst thing in the world when you cry out and there's no one talking back. It must be the worst thing in the world when you're in a position where you're down and out, but no one talks back to you. I'm so glad I don't serve a God like that. I'm so glad I don't serve a God like that. Elijah, on the other hand, says to the people, come near to me. Father's heart right there. Come near to me. Remember, this whole thing is not about the rain. It's not about God stopping rain. It's actually God saying, I want my people to come back to me. That's what it's about. Elijah says to the Israelites, come to me. Friends, and I want to tell you tonight, God is saying to you, just come to me. Just come to me. Israel answered, they did. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill your jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering. I don't know if he was mocking more about water that they don't have. Bring more water. Pour water on. And he did it 3 times. Bring more water. Put it on this. They did it again. They soaked the offering. 3rd time, he says, bring more water. Bring more water. They soaked it. And he starts praying. He says, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. This is what it's all about, is drawing Israel back to him. Like I said before, I'm so glad I have a God that answers. I'm so glad I have a God that will come through for me. I'm so glad I have a God that is so personal that he lives inside of me, that's there with me 24 hours, that is always there for me. Oh God of Israel, you are the true God. Hold fast, 5, obey and trust the word of God. You see, it took 3 years from when he spoke and he said there'll be no rain for God to fulfill this word to come to the ending. 3 years. But every time God spoke to Elijah, he was obedient. Every time God said to him, do this, he did exactly that. Every time he said to him, move to this place, he did exactly that. He was obedient. I don't know about you, but it's not always easy to be obedient. It's easy to read it, it's easy to hear it, but it's many times difficult to say, just lift your things up and go that side. That's what, Lord, it's like a cozy here. I like it here. Because recently everybody moves to Australia. So I'm not saying that. But Lord, it's nice here. I like it here. No, no. I want you over there. Yes, Lord, but it's... I never see Elijah moaning. I never see him going in argument with God. I never see him going into discussion. It's like, it's right, Lord. I'll do it. Friends, let's be obedient. When God says, do something, get up and do it. Get up and do it. And then when you go, trust him. Trust him. I know I've went to places and I've been in situations where I said, okay, God, this is where you want me to be. Now what now? Friends, can I tell you something out of personal experience? What is the worst thing to do? Have a plan B. If God doesn't come through, I'll have this and this and this and this. Where's your trust? In this and this and this and this. Your trust is not in God. Friends, don't have a plan B. It's God or nothing. If he says do it, do it. Trust in him. Hold on to him because he will come through for you. Again, my God answers. I know that. He will answer for you. I want to finish off with chapter 19. Ahab goes and she tells Jezebel. He tells Jezebel, listen here, this is what happened. I'm really sorry. This guy took all your prophets and just slaughtered him. Obviously, she was the one wearing the pants in the house. She got ballistic. She went, some of the husbands go, yeah, I know that feeling. She went crazy like that. She went, she sent a message out to him. Says, tomorrow, this time, the same will happen to you, what you've done to my prophets. Now, I read this, looking what happened. I didn't even mention it there. After the sacrifice, the word says that Elijah went and he killed 450 of those prophet of those Baal prophets, himself. Now this next chapter, there's this woman that says, surely by tomorrow I will make sure that you are not alive. Now this is more of a fair fight, hey? One-on-one. This is more like, okay, we can do this. What does Elijah do? Pulls up his robe, and he runs for the hills. So I'm like, okay, here goes my whole movie. This is not the ending I was hoping for. This is not how it's supposed to be. Pulls up his Rocky, and he pulls. He runs for the hills. He runs. He eventually gets to a point where he's under a tree, and he says to God, I just want to die. I don't want to live anymore. It's finished. It's law. I can't do this anymore. Cheers. I'm out. Angel of the Lord comes to him. Says to him, wake up. Feeds him, gives him bread and water. Wake up. It's my last point. Does it a second time. Says to him, wake up. The journey is long. Friends, I was listening to Kurt preaching this morning, and I was like, did he steal my notes? What did he do? How is it even possible? He was talking about running away. Remember. But he's even giving his own example for a year, how he's going into different jobs, just running away from the calling of God. What did Elijah do here? He's running away. God has just used him mightily over here. The next chapter, he's running away. There's people here tonight. I'm telling you now, there's been so many breakthroughs in your life. There's so many great things happened in your life. But you're running away. Because something just snapped and you're like, yes, I can't anymore. John was using an example. There's people here that's got, you're so depressed. You're running away. You're fleeing from something. I know, I've been in that situation long. I grew up in a traditional AFM setup where you clap hands, you sing your songs, but it's very traditional. I felt God saying to me, DJ, I'm going to use you. I want you to go into and study theology. So my first frame of mind is, I'm going to the AGS Tierka, Theological College. I'm like, that's where I'm going. I walk in there and God says, no, this is not for you. Jeez, kebab, how is that possible? This is my whole life. That's what I literally... My dad went into full-time ministry when I was 5 years old. So I was sitting under the... I grew up in the church. I was more in the church than in my own bed. So that's all I knew. God says, no, this is not for you. So I went and studied completely in a different direction, in a different college. Came back to AFM, and what does these guys say? Oh, well, yes, we're so glad you studied, but we're not going to recognize that, so we're not going to use you here. Okay, because you're not... Jy's nie 'n pastoor nie. It's an appy in an ander richting, but you're not a pastor. Friends, I don't want a title. It's not what I want. I just want to fulfill the calling God has given me. But that just did something, yeah. It snapped something, like Elijah. What did I do? Put my tackies on, and I ran away. Oh, well, they don't want to use me. That's it. And I ran away. I landed up, eventually, in what was called that time Eastside. They were still in a church, in a school in Bedford View. And I met this guy called Greg. Next level crazy as well. He was sitting in the front with a bell. And I would remind him. So people could come give word, but if it was too long, he would start ringing the bell. And the people that's in the church now for long would remember that. I was sitting here, I'm like, what is happening in this place? Like, ding, 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 guy next, come, move, move. And if there was kids running around, the looks like, hey, just get this kid out of here and put him at the back. I'm like, where did I just land up? This is... And you know what? A door opened up for my wife and I to go to Durban. That we felt in our hearts it's the right place to go to. Even in ministry, I ran away. You can sit here with a full-time calling on your life, thinking you're doing what God tells you to do, but you're still running away. You're still running away because you are not hearing God for where exactly He wants you. Friends, and can I tell you something? If God says, this is where I want you to be, and you are over there, God is still there. He's still there. He's waiting for you there. Tyron preached it here. Hey, the mountain where Abraham offered Isaac. Where was the blessing? Where was the ram? On that hill, not over there. I ran away. I went 5 years to Durban thinking, I'm changing Durban. I'm going to do great things. Things just happened there to my wife and I. We just got new. We're newly married. We married for 3 months, and we're going to Durban. We don't know a bar of soap there, but we're going to change Durban. It was lekker. It was the seas there. Of course it's lekker. It's nice. It's relaxed. Every Monday you're off. I found the pastor. What are we doing Tuesday? Nah, just relax. I'm not. This is a lekker plek. I can stay here. What are we doing on Wednesday? Are we having a meeting? Yeah, let's go drink a coffee. And then we'll see what happens. I said, Laura, this place is heaven. I like this place. Even in ministry, I was running away. Things happened. Come back to Greg. He had a knee up. He's sitting with his knee like this across the road at number 132. Crying, saying, Greg, yes, I don't know what's going on. What? Please help us. Anybody here that knows Greg will say, what did God tell you to do? I'm like, that's not what I want to hear. I want you to tell me, DJ, you're going to do A, B, C, D, this, and this, and this. But when he said that, and when I was busy preparing this, friends, what did God in the beginning tell you to do? What did God in the beginning give that word that's in your heart that you're holding on to? Because that's the thing that will sustain you. That's the thing that you're holding on to. That's the thing that God will draw you back to and say, this is where I want you to be. This is where I want you to start going forward. Because that is where I've planted you. And I realized God has called me. God wants me. But it's not in Durban. My wife and I packed everything up. I don't have a degree. I don't have anything behind my name. We moved here. God opened doors automatically in this place like you can't believe. We were here for a couple of months. I started working with Jonathan. I'm still regretting that. I started working with Berger. And God just gave us me. Just giving me new connections. God taught me a new work ethics at Staff Unit, like never before. Like I said, in Durban, it's like, on Wednesday we can do it, maybe Thursday. Yes, I get to Staff Unit. 6 o'clock, you must be in Witbank. 7 o'clock at night, you must do night shift. You must run. I'm like, what happened to me? God started shaping. God's just taking me, and He's working me back. To where I'm supposed to be. But friends, I had to get to that place where I realized where God said to me, wake up. Wake up. You know what? So many times we wait for people to come and just pat us on the back. And friends, you need to wake up. You need to stand up. And it is the most difficult thing to do. I understand that. It's the most hardest thing to do because you've got all these things that is piling up. Friends, I want to tell you, God will take you by the hand and He will help you through this time to get up. He gave the angel, He sent the angel. He was feeding him and He said to him, get up. It's time to go. Elijah got up. Journey was long. He landed up at Mount Horeb. Where have we heard that before? Can anybody tell me? Yes. It's the same place where Moses met with God. Same place. He lands up there, he goes into a cave. God comes to him and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Meneer, mevrouw, young man, young woman, child, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? God is asking tonight, what are you doing here? Because He knew that's not where Elijah was supposed to be. Elijah said to him, Lord, I was zealous for you. I did these things for you. I made sure I killed the prophets. I helped Israel to come back to you. And now they want to kill me. I can't do this anymore. I just don't want to do this anymore. God answered him. He said to him, I want you to go stand outside on the mountain. Go stand outside and wait for me. That's my challenge for everyone tonight. And the band can come up, please. God is saying to you tonight, I want you to step out and stand on the mountain. God met with Moses there. God's busy meeting with Elijah here. And He said to him, come, just stand here. And we read there was massive wind. There was an earthquake. There was fire. but God was not in any of those elements. Moses was there. God was in the fire. Now all of a sudden, he's not in that fire. You know what? A couple of chapters back, God answered with fire. Now he's not in the fire. Elijah's probably thinking, yes, what's going on here? How's this possible? You're not in the fire. The Bible says in the still, small voice, God answered him. Still, small voice, God came and he started speaking to him.